Hello, this is Mr. Brown. Welcome to See What Show.
And this is Ling. Hi.
Welcome to the Movie, TV and DVD Review Podcast for regular people. Today we are reviewing all the heavyweights.
For the Golden Globes.
Golden Globes and probably the Oscars, I think.
Exactly. Actually, one tends to mirror the other.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes there's surprises and sometimes it's exactly the same.
Yeah, we have The Great Debaters. What else?
Eastern Promises, is it in the running?
I don't know. But it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
It's one of those, yeah.
And we're going to talk about that later.
And we're also reviewing Charlie Wilson's War with Tom Hanks in it. So, heavyweight actors.
Yes.
And heavyweight movies. But first, what's showing this week?
What's showing this week?
Russell.
Today, the Russell night not happening.
Yeah, your paper is a little bit crumpled.
I need to open it up.
Like that, then gossip. Well, we're going to look at Love in the Time of Cholera, which looks like a really epic love story from the trailer.
I saw the trailer, yeah. Based on a book by, what's her name?
Something Marcel Garcia.
She's the one who writes the epic love story type of books. My wife's reading one of the books at the moment.
And liking it?
Yeah, she's okay with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Love in the Time of Cholera. With a title like that, you know, it's about a love that spans
51 years. That's how
wars
long
and
I love
turmoil it. And, you know, obstacles and. Yeah, that's the kind of movie it is.
And it's of course, when they say it's the greatest love story of all times, then you better believe it.
This sort of thing is the wife will drag you to watch one.
Okay, you know, huh?
Yeah. 310, well, 310 to Yuma.
310 to Yuma, that's this the one with Russell Crowe.
We have reviewed it and it's coming to your cinemas. And I loved it. Kristen Bale and Russell Crowe put up a fine performance. Go and listen to our review. Of this remake of a 1957 black and white movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the last one that maybe you want to check out is Reservation Road, also based on a book.
Yeah. This one, it's one of those movies that you read the synopsis, then you go like, huh? But actually, it's about two fathers. One father, the son was lost to an accident. Then the other father is the one who caused the accident. Then the two fathers have to deal with the tragedy, that kind of movie.
Correct, that's right. Because there's pain. And then at the same time, they want to protect themselves and all that.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix.
And Jennifer Connelly.
Ooh, I like her.
You like her?
But she lao liao.
So bad. What's wrong with lao? And of course, Mira Sorvino, whom we haven't seen for a very long time.
Since Chow Yun-fat's replacement killers. That's the last time I saw her.
Yeah. Actually, I think I haven't seen her for even longer. I saw her in the one with where she was acting with Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah. The two of them.
Don't know what, don't even remember what it's called already.
Yeah, that comedy.
Yeah.
So that was funny.
If you want to catch it.
Romy and Michelle's reunion, a school reunion or something like that.
That's right.
That was so funny. Oh, yeah, that was the last time. Replacement Killer was before that. That was very sad.
Yeah, so she bombed after that.
Very big bomb after Mighty Aphrodite. Okay, let's jump into review time.
See What Show, review time.
Okay, first movie we're reviewing today on See What Show is The Great Debaters.
I am the darker brother. I, too, am American.
I want you to try out for the debate team.
You sure you want somebody like me?
No. That's why you're trying out.
Gentlemen and lady, debate is combat, but your weapons are words.
In a time of change, he taught them to find their strength.
Dad, I made the debate team.
Now, Tolson can be a bit of a rebel. It's extreme for my taste.
Debate is blood sport. You must destroy your opponent, not only verbally, but physically. I am here to help you to find and keep your righteous mind.
When our nation was in need, he inspired them to give us hope.
The time for justice is always right now.
She's good.
Everybody knows he's been running around stirring up trouble.
Tell.
Good. You know, when I saw this movie title, I thought, who would want to watch a movie about a bunch of debaters from 1935?
So that's not what it's about, right?
Kinda like it's a backdrop. I mean, I'm a sucker for debating.
Right.
Because I used to be in the school debate team. I was a debate team nerd.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, I was in the SBC debates.
Really?
Yeah, we were the youngest team there, I think, because we were a secondary school.
I see.
And I was one of the reserves.
I see.
And I'm a debate team nerd, I confess.
Mr. Brown, representing Anglo-Chinese school.
Very, very long ago. And then the movie, of course, has Denzel Washington and Forest Whitaker in it, my two favourite actors. Mm-hmm. So have to watch, even though I have reservations about the title. Okay, it's based on a true story. Denzel is Melvin Tolson, this professor in a very small black college, a university in Marshall, Texas, called Wiley College. He started their first debate team, got some students to get together, and they went on to fight the championship debate team, white debate team from Harvard. So that's the story.
I see. Wow, and racial politics.
Yeah. All there. Yeah. You can see it. See it coming. So this is set in a time when black people were still facing racism, lynching, and injustice in Texas. For goodness sake.
Of course.
White state.
Even today, right?
Even well, it's better today, I'm sure. But you know, it's redneck country at that time. Tolson gathers a couple of smart students together. Henry Lowe, who is this smart but angry chap, one of the streetwise, you know, guy who doesn't live up to his potential because he's angry and always getting into trouble. There's this very bright lady called Samantha Book with an E. She keeps saying. Hamilton Burgess, another very talented debater. And James Farmer Jr., who is this 14-year-old genius son, who's in college, mind you, at 14, of Dr. James Farmer Sr., acted by Forest Whitaker. So this is the ragtag group. The boy who's acting as James Farmer Jr. is called Denzel Whitaker. And he's not related to either guy. Okay.
It's very clever.
It's weird, isn't it? You go to like Denzel Whitaker, what the? Yeah. So it is a ragtag, you know, bunch of underdog debaters. Tolson takes on his, you know, other debating teams in larger black colleges and ultimately gets to debate white colleges as well, which is a big deal, right? Because of segregation.
Yep.
So unheard of. And their final showdown is, of course, Harvard.
Okay.
Harvard. The show is very inspirational, very engaging. Sometimes a little bit too inspirational.
Okay.
Tends to get rah-rah a little bit.
So the Martin Luther type of rah-rah?
Quite lah. You know, it's all these people, you know, they're like rah-rah-rah. And there were fine performances, actually, from all the actors. I think that's what I enjoyed a lot. I mean, it's not just one guy. It's like a whole bunch of actors doing excellent work. Every single one. Even young James Farmer Jr., you know, Denzel Whitaker. In fact, I like him the most.
Okay.
He did a damn good job. Forest Whitaker's James Farmer Sr. character is a very interesting foil to, Denzel Washington's Tolson, who's a firebrand. You know, he's always about doing the right thing, and his ways and methods are not always legal.
Okay.
James Farmer Sr. is a man who does not believe in rocking the boat. He believes in using education and, you know, to rise above the racial politics of the time and to achieve justice for his people. Whereas Tolson believes in civil disobedience, if necessary.
When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away all childish things.
Okay.
So these two guys really did a damn good job showing how the two men, you know, have this grudging respect for each other and yet they disagree about important issues. Because it's about debating, so you get to watch a lot of really good speeches and well-delivered. Debating is the tool used to show this struggle, you know, against racism and struggle for change. You get to hear some really, really good speeches. The movie actually makes you care about what is being said.
Yeah, and I'm sure it makes you care about all the characters.
Characters and the issues of the day.
Right. Okay.
Very rousing, you know, it's... It's a very different kind of black movie. Normally, black movies tend to be about, you know, hip-hop and stuff.
Actually, what you're describing reminds me of a scene that I saw in Boston Legal also, where there was a black community and they were defending a black Annie because the white community said that Annie has to be played by a curly-haired blonde girl.
Gosh.
Yeah.
This is really very old school. There's a vintage quality about the movie. Because set in 1935, they caught the period. It's a bit of a period drama, but... Also, it's almost like you're watching... My wife used to like to watch... what's that movie? Well, it's based on a book. Oh, yeah, forgot.
To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, you're so good. You read my mind. My wife loved that. Right. There's a bit of that. You know what I mean? The whole injustice stuff, and it's old school. You know, it's all about ideals and stuff. Yeah. And it's that. Exactly right.
But then how? What if I like don't care about literature? I mean, will I enjoy it?
Here's the thing. I mean, I really liked it very much, you know. But you have to be warned. I mean, it's a very talky movie.
Okay.
Talk. And you have to like listening to speeches. You have to like oratory, you know, brilliance. You have to like history, care about things like that. My wife would call this a heavy movie, and she's kind of right. You have to be in the right mood to kind of enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's drama and there's fun. It's really interesting to watch. There's that. But the speeches, you know, the way they deliver it, the way they, you know, it's treated as sport.
Okay.
It's like a sports movie, but with debating as the sport. Mm-hmm. It got nominated for Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture Drama. Mm-hmm. They lost to Atonement. But I tell you, this is quality stuff. So I highly recommend it. Don't brush it off just because it's, you know, drama.
How long is it?
Not very long. I think it's 2 hours.
Okay, less than 2 hours. Right.
Yeah. Which is funny. Now they say 2 hours is short, right?
Well, not that. It's just that sometimes the Golden Globe nominees are like, they're all 3 hours.
No,
long.
No. Yeah. This is okay. This is actually manageable.
Okay.
And it breezes by. I recommend it.
Yay.
Go and watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
We shall. Well, we move on to another movie called Eastern Promises.
We think he might be Russian mafia.
And he was a member of Vorev Sokolya.
In Russian prisons, your life story is written on your body. And tattoos.
If you don't have tattoos, you don't exist.
I'm afraid we've lost the mother.
Unidentified woman died December the 20th, 2313. Baby girl born 20th of December, 2314.
Anya, where did you get this?
I found it in the handbag of the girl who died in my ward.
She would bury her secrets with her body.
I'm a midwife. I was hoping to speak to the manager.
And I'm so sorry if she had worked here. I would remember it is set.
It's all right. I'll probably find out more once I get her diary translated.
A diary?
Well, what does Eastern Promises actually promise? Well, actually, it's kind of like the backdrop of it is that there are these young women, Chechen, Russian, Eastern European, they're all kind of wanting to come to London for a better life. But then what lies ahead is actually there's this crime ring, essentially, that they get involved with. So I finally got to catch this show. I had heard so much about it with Naomi Watts of King Kong fame and then, of course, the very dishy Viggo Mortensen from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Viggo.
Ah, Viggo, exactly.
Is he from Lord of the Rings?
He is from Lord of the Rings. He is.
Oh, Viggo was Aragorn.
Yes, that's right.
How can I
that's
forget?
Right. Yeah. And actually, I didn't recognize him, to be honest. He had morphed. You know, so all the beard was gone and the hair was cut short. And he looked very much the part of the Russian mafia.
Okay, it's about Russian mafia, but it's set in London.
It's set in London, correct. Oh. Yeah. The movie is super violent because it is about a Russian criminal brotherhood. And it's called Vori V. Zakone. And I can't really pronounce it because they mumble a lot and they look very broody and they look very intense in this show. See? So it's like, oh, you don't mess with the Vori V. Zakone.
So it's bad enough that it's mafia, like really mumble in the Italian mafia, but the Russian mafia, they have an accent on top of that.
Ah, something like that. I wouldn't say it's bad. I mean, you get it enough. You kind of get it enough. You may not know, you might not be able to rattle off the name, but you definitely know what they're referring to. Mm. So they have these underground activities in London, and how it comes to the fore is because a young girl actually dies while delivering her child at a hospital that Naomi Watts works at. And Naomi Watts is a midwife, right? So I mean, it's so strange. Firstly, this girl is like 14 years old, and then it's so mysterious because like she's pregnant, and then but she, you know, she's never conscious, so she never gets to tell her story. Amongst her belongings, Naomi Watts actually finds a diary, but it's all written in Russian. Oh. So there's also a card in there which leads Naomi to a restaurant. Okay, so in this restaurant, this restaurant is actually owned by Semyon, played by this guy called Armin Mueller-Stahl, and he is very excellent. He is one reason why you really should go and watch the show. Yeah. Mm. So she goes there trying to find out more about this girl, right? Because why? I mean, how come she just was pregnant and then like dies and all that, you see? So she doesn't have much leads but the card that's embedded in the diary, right? She finds a way to the restaurant, and then she also meets Viggo Mortensen's character called Nikolai. He's the driver for Semyon, right? This restaurant really is a front for the activities of the Vorivizakone. Yes.
Well, he did very well.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know how to say it, but just anyhow, because you know, they mumble a lot, as I said. So Nikolai, Viggo's character, he's trying to earn his stripes as a gangster in training, right?
Oh, so he's a driver at the moment, but he wants to be promoted.
Ah, he wants to be promoted, exactly. Oh. But he's not Semyon's son, you see. He's not flesh. So he doesn't naturally get co-opted into the brotherhood. You have to like earn your stripes, you see. But he's very, very good friends with Semyon's older son, who's quite a loser and quite a, you know, quite a disappointment to his mafia father. Yeah. So obviously there's a lot of tension there, right? Like you know that this driver has actually got potential, but then your son should be the next in line, blah blah blah.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, on the side, of course, Anna is trying to find out what's in the contents of the diary. But of course, what's in there is actually top secret, right? And Nikolai is trying to make sure that she stays out of trouble. So there's a hint that there's some kind of interest or romance between them and all that.
Oh, Nikolai is trying to prevent
her from getting, into trouble with the mafia.
Oh.
The Vori.
She's poking her nose where she shouldn't. I see.
Well, the story is actually quite easy to follow. And you don't really get very lost. And in fact, the voiceovers that you get to hear a little bit of the dead girl's story. So I'll say that it's not difficult to follow at all. And there's a lot of suspense, right, with all mafia type movies.
My uncle, the one who spat in your face, he's disappeared. If we don't hear from him soon, we're going to the police. Do you know where he is?
Yes. Scotland, Edinburgh, 5-star hotel.
Edinburgh.
Your uncle knew too much. I was told to send him to heaven with bullet in his head. Instead, I sent him to Edinburgh with first-class ticket. He's okay. He's old school. He understands situation. Exile or death. His hotel is called Caledonian.
I personally felt that the movie in the center kind of sagged a little bit. Yeah, the fighting, the betrayal, the super painful killing involving like jabbing on the eyes and all that. So if you're really into that kind of action and gore, this is the movie for you.
Thriller.
But also it's quite interesting because you also see the mafia with heart. Right.
Oh, heart one.
Got some mafia no heart, some mafia got heart.
This one is the one with heart. The Russian mafia with heart.
Something like that. Some got, some don't have. But I cannot give too much away. If not, I'll tell you the whole story already. But I will say, it is not necessarily just for the guys, because there's this scene where Viggo Mortensen's character is attacked in the sauna in the buff. I repeat, in the buff.
Right.
So fans of this lad, you have been alerted. Okay. I mean, personally, right, I think he
acted... I don't watch it already.
You don't
see
Viggo
Mortensen in the buff. Sorry, carry on.
Why?
No.
Maybe your wife will.
You just destroy my, you know, impression of Aragorn.
Well, he's versatile, I'll say.
Oh, whatever, but no.
I mean, you know, acting-wise, right? I mean, Naomi Watts gets top billing, of course.
Yeah.
And so does Viggo Mortensen. Okay. I think she's serviceable and she's okay. It's just that I suppose her character, I don't expect that much from the character, and I don't really feel that it was a character that kind of allowed her to shine. Whereas I think that Viggo Mortensen, and I think that what's the guy's name? The owner? Armin Müller-Stahl, the head of the Vorivizakone. They really shine.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, if you want to see a show where the good triumphs over the evil, but then a lot of action in between, then this is the one.
This is a British movie, right?
Is it?
Or European? It's not American.
No, it's not American.
Yeah. So the style very different, right?
It's quite. Yeah, I think it's not obviously like one of those big blockbusters, very bright lights, very lush kind of cinematography, but very compelling.
Yeah? Mm. Okay, I'll go and watch it too. I like mafia movies.
He says, like, very mianqiang.
A bit like, yeah, because of the Viggo Mortensen thing that you planted in my head. No!
Well, think Last Caution, the uncut version, right?
Yeah, okay. Charlie Wilson's War.
Yes.
Also got Tom Hanks in the buff.
You see, nowadays, I think that is the strategy. To sell tickets.
Get to watch the rear end. From the back, it's a back shot, not a front shot. It's butt. Okay. Yeah, it is. There is. Actually, not that you mention it.
Congressman.
No.
You get to come to charge. Can we get you a drink?
It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess.
I'm just wondering what you do for a living.
I'm Charlie Wilson. I represent the Texas 2nd Congressional District.
I'm standing on the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Afghans are now ready to fight a war against the Soviets. If they get weapons, they say they will win.
This is 6th wealthiest woman in Texas. Joanne.
I have been passionately involved with the cause of the Afghans since the day the communists marched in. Why is Congress saying one thing and doing nothing?
Well, it's tradition mostly.
You sit at the intersection of the State Department, the Pentagon, and the CIA. The three agencies you would need to conduct a covert war.
Yeah. I want the CIA in my office at 10. What is U.S. strategy in Afghanistan?
Well, strictly speaking, we don't have one, but we're working hard on that.
Who's we?
Me and three other guys.
I need airplanes, guns, and money.
A sudden influx of modern weaponry would draw attention.
Draw attention? This is a Cold War. Everybody knows about it. There must be
some kind of... this is another true story movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like The Great Debaters. This one is a true story about Charlie Wilson, the congressman who, in the 1980s, during the Cold War, helped to arm the Mujahideen of Afghanistan to drive the evil Soviets out of their country.
Okay.
Yeah. I totally love this movie.
Really?
Yeah, it was very, very good. I mean, it's political satire at its best. You know, you might think it is a light comedy when you look at the trailers and all that. But, you know, and while it's funny, very, very biting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tom Hanks got a Golden Globe nomination for his part as Charlie Wilson, who is a hard-drinking, corrupt, womanizing congressman.
I'm sorry, but I just cannot get Wilson the volleyball out of my head.
Oh, yeah.
Because his name
Charlie
is...
Charlie Wilson the volleyball.
Yes.
Who used his connections and position to get the funds needed to fight a covert war against the Soviets, who were occupying Afghanistan at the time and who were also massacring Afghans. What started as a $5 million budget for covert ops became this $1 billion juggernaut that every politician wanted to be part of because, you know, it was a fight against communism and, you know. Charlie is so skillful that he could get the Israelis, the Pakistanis, the Saudis, the Egyptians working together secretly to supply Soviet and non-American weapons to the Afghan rebels to shoot down what was the bane of their existence, Soviet Hind helicopters.
Okay.
And also their T-55 tanks. You see, the Soviets really, really used their helicopters to mow Afghan farmers and people down. I mean, there were some scenes that were quite scary. They used real footage as well of the stuff. And those helicopters were armored. And the only weapons that the Afghans had were Enfield rifles that were used in like World War One.
Oh, okay.
Bullets were very old. And the helicopters couldn't be shot down by these weapons because they were specifically armored against that kind of bullet. So you can't use regular guns to shoot them down.
Oh dear.
And these helicopters were gunships. They're not just regular helicopters. They were like missile launching, rocket launching, you know. They just mow down hundreds of thousands of men, women and children just like that. So a helicopter can just basically wipe out a whole village.
Mm.
Yeah. Aaron Sorkin wrote the screenplay for this, and you can see the trademark wit and intelligent dialogue. He's the guy who was responsible for The West Wing and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Okay.
And basically, Charlie got, you know, these Afghan rebels, freedom fighters, so-called, Stinger missiles that could shoot down these, you know, helicopters, missiles, that anti-tank missiles that could take down tanks, really arm them to the teeth. Mm. As you watch this, you have to remember that there were repercussions from the Americans arming the Afghans during this period.
Mm-hmm.
Because these heroic Mujahideen rebels were the genesis of the Taliban.
Yes, correct.
Who are the host of Al-Qaeda. So you watch that whole thing unfold with that in your mind, the irony is even thicker.
Correct, correct.
Yes. There were very, very fine performances. Julia Roberts was this rich Texan lady who makes Charlie start a holy war against the unchristian commies.
Okay, Julia Roberts is in it.
Yeah. Mm. And she plays such an uncharacteristic character. Okay. She's a middle-aged rich woman who's very manipulative and who decides that, you know, she wants to make policy. Right. She wants to influence policy. It's foreign policy. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
You may be the sexiest woman ever. I'm not kidding. You are Helena Troy.
Are you patronizing me?
What do you want me to do, Joanne?
This is what I want you to do. I want you to save Afghanistan for the Afghans. I want you to deliver such a crushing defeat to the Soviets that communism crumbles, and in so doing, end the Cold War.
I'll tell you, I'd do it too, but I got this Dairy Queen problem in Nacogdoches.
Don't underestimate me, Charlie. Believe everything you've heard.
What exactly do you want me to do?
Go to Pakistan and meet with Zia.
Zia?
Mohammed Zia ul Haq.
He's the president of Pakistan.
I've already arranged it.
You've arranged a meeting between me and the president of Pakistan?
Yes. You're going to Israel next week to meet with Zvi Rafi about the Lavi jets. I'm going to attack Pakistan on the end of your trip.
And meet with the president.
Let him convince you that it's a Christian imperative to let the Afghans rid their country of communism.
And then you've got this guy called Gust, who is the head of the Afghan desk in the CIA. He's this straight-talking dude who's really enjoyable to watch. He's very, very direct, and he's very streetwise. And he and Tom Hanks were basically the rich, corrupt congressman speaking to the streetwise CIA agent operative. And the two of them, the dialogue between the two is really enjoyable to watch. You know, just bouncing stuff off each other.
Mm.
Yeah. Go and watch this movie, Charlie Wilson's War. I mean, it's weird because normally we don't, it's hard to care about US politics.
Yeah, I know. And they love this kind of US saves the day kind of thing, right?
Yeah, but this is such a delightful movie to watch. The dialogue, the irony. You can enjoy it at one level, which is a light comedy. But if you really understand what they were doing, some of the things. There's one scene where this congressman was in a refugee camp in Pakistan, at the border of Pakistan, because a lot of these Afghan people had fled to Pakistan. This is why Pakistan is very upset that the US is not intervening as well.
Mm.
So this congressman that Tom Hanks' character brought there to kind of influence him to support the bill to fund the Afghan rebels, right?
Mm.
He was there and he's going, God, will prevail, and, we will fight against the evil communist Soviets. God is on our side. And then you've got all these, Afghan Muslims.
Right.
Shouting along with him, cheering,
yeah.
Going, Allah. Akbar, right?
Okay.
So you've got this really bizarre, surreal scene. He's going, God, praise God. And they are going, praise God in, their language.
Correct.
And, when you're watching, you've got these two different religions here.
Yeah, I know.
And it's so surreal.
So relevant, huh?
Yeah, it's bizarre, man. Just to watch that. And it's a true story.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is the kind of irony that, and satire that this movie is about. And the weird, this... The fact that such a huge campaign was instigated by a corrupt politician, slimy politician like Tom Hanks, Charlie Wilson.
Right.
Yeah. But who's also got, he played him very well. He acted him with heart.
Mm.
Yeah. Got nominated for Best Actor.
Okay, I want to watch it already.
It's very good. It's very good. It's very, very funny. Aaron Sorkin is just a brilliant writer.
Well, if Tom Hanks wins,
No, he didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Golden Globe.
No, I'm thinking of Oscar? Oscars. If he wins, it'll be his third.
Is it?
Mm.
Wow. Well, I think he win enough already.
He win enough.
Panchan others. Give chance.
Give other Toms, like Tom Cruise, is it?
No. Okay, so that's our show for this week. The Great Debaters.
Eastern Promises.
And Charlie Wilson's War. Join us for more Oscar Golden Globe-ness in our coming episodes of See What Show. And thanks for joining us. I'm Mr. Brown.
And I'm Ling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A production of See What Show.com.